Did you know that Game Pass or Pass is brought to you for free because of Spotify for Podcasters? It's a totally free platform, and you can make a podcast today for free. Spotify for Podcasters lets you record and edit podcasts right from your phone or computer. So no matter what your setup is like, you can start creating today. Then you can distribute your podcast to Spotify and everywhere else that podcasts are heard. And if you think about taking your podcast to the next level with a video podcast, Spotify can help you too. With Spotify for Podcasters, you can also earn money in a variety of ways that includes ads and podcast subscriptions. So what are you waiting for? Download the Spotify for Podcasters app or go to spotify.com/podcasts to get started right now.
Time for another episode of Game Pass or Pass, the podcast where we play games on Microsoft's Game Pass service and tell you which games to pass on to your friends and what games to simply pass on by. Today I am always joined. My name is Corey, and today I'm joined by co-host Basher.
What's it do, good sir? I think what you need, by the way, which would help you out in your broadcasting career, is a catchphrase.
A catchphrase like bam.
I got my what's the deal. I've been rocking that since like 1998, I want to say. So I used to say,
well, for the love of gaming.
I remember that throwback.
Yeah, that was that. I guess that was sort of at one point my.
Oh, I got it. Just changed the name of the podcast.
Yeah, sure. Let's do it. For the love of Game Pass. Today, we are talking about a big one from Microsoft. We're talking about their biggest game of the year. We are talking about the Coalition's Gears 5. It is no longer a war for Gears. It is just Gears 5.
Yeah, I don't see the point of that, but because they're still warring in the game. I mean, they're warring out, so this is still being a title.
Rod Ferguson really pushed for that, and I never quite understood it, but whatever. Hey, he knows more than I do, I guess, so... Because originally he wanted to get Gears of War 4. I mean, it would have made more sense to do it with Gears 4 like they originally intended, because it sort of like signifies the start, you know, of something new. Because that very much was. Sorts. Yeah. And then, but they didn't do that. So now it makes even less sense with Gears 5. But whatever. I'm still going to call it Gears of War 5. That's what it is. Let's be honest. I almost just hit stop recording. That would be bad. Anyways. This game is developed by the Coalition, which is Microsoft's team that does strictly Gears of War, formerly known as Black Tusk Studios. Regular price for this game is $59.99. As always, if you're a Game Pass member, you can play it with a subscription. But this was the first time where Microsoft, if you had Game Pass Ultimate, which is their highest tier, which includes Xbox Game Pass for console, PC, and Xbox Live Gold, you could play.
I upgraded to it. It was dope.
Did you do the $2 thing?
I think I did for like three months or something.
Yeah, it's two for two, I think they call it. So two, yeah, it's interesting. But yeah, we'll talk more about that maybe later. But this was the first time where the Ultimate subscribers got the Ultimate version of the game, which basically means you get like all the DLC, you get the early access, you get all of the pre-order bonuses, like the Terminator and the Sarah Connor skins. Like you got it all for being a Game Pass Ultimate subscriber. So it's interesting. I wonder if they're going to do that in the future. But we'll talk about why sometimes early access isn't the best. game is also available on Steam on Tuesday. Actually, that's a good question. I wonder if it's available on Steam today. Doesn't matter. Anyways, Xbox Play Anywhere, of course, since it is a cross-play game, you can. You were playing on PC and I was playing on console, and we can attest that it works. You can definitely do that. Microtransactions galore, though, for people out there that do not like microtransactions. There are a lot of cosmetic microtransactions. There are no, what's the word I'm looking for?
Player pay advantage to win ones. Yes, there you go.
There's no pay to win microtransactions, but I know some people really, really don't like microtransactions. They have announced that DLC, all the DLC of this game will be free, and it will come to Game Pass Ultimate subscribers first, as well as Horde maps, I believe. The way it worked is on the last game was is that you could play all the multiplayer maps in versus mode, but if you wanted to play them on Horde or you wanted to host your own sort of event, you had to purchase the maps. So I believe that's what they're doing again. They're also going to be doing like seasons every 3 months. So, and all that will be free to people that buy the game on Game Pass or if you just buy it on disc. So the Xbox One X Enhanced is interesting because for the first time that they are trying to push 4K 60 on the Xbox One X, but it is a dynamic 4K. It is not a native 4K at all times, and it does not spend a lot of its time at 4K. But that being said, the 60 frames, this game looks freaking phenomenal on the Xbox One X. You know, I think this is probably the first game that maybe Red Dead Redemption 2, though, that game did it very well too. But it super takes advantage of the One X because the regular box only does 1080p and 30 frames on the campaign. So not only is it a much higher resolution, it is double the frame rate. So, and it's smooth. It is very, very smooth. It very rarely dips. Every once in a while it hitches here and there, but it is extremely, extremely smooth. So the last thing would be the achievement difficulty, which I would rank as moderate. You can get about half the achievements just by kind of playing the campaign.
Whoa. What happened to this one at 10 scale?
I
remember them being ones and fives and sevens. What's this moderate nonsense?
It's moderate out of 10.
Okay, gotcha. That's cool.
So there you go. So you can get about half the achievements I looked into it just by playing the game kind of thing. You know, you're not going to just pop them off all of a sudden. But the second half is going to take some serious digging. You are going to like seriously 4.0 or 5.0. Like what I'm about to say is 100% true. You have to reach level 2000 to get seriously 5.0, as well as other things. You have to beat the game on insane. Like, you basically have to do everything, but you have to get to level 2000.
And you call that moderate?
So no, I'm saying the achievement difficulty overall.
Is moderate, really?
Yes.
I would call that way higher than moderate.
Well, I guess maybe that's what... I want to talk about achievements because I think they're important, but maybe...
Let's talk about achievements, finally.
Maybe we should rank it on... See, my ranking, obviously, you know, we've talked about this before because we're talking about it now, because you care about achievements, totally, is that I want to know how many achievements like I can get just by like playing the game.
That's what matters to me most.
Right.
Back in my trophy hunting days, the only time I really platinum a game was when I really loved that game. Other than that, if I'm playing through the game, I don't just rush through games like that. I try to do most of what I come across. If I go through a game pretty thoroughly and I'm half or less, I'm honestly kind of like, well, fuck this game and its trophies. It's just too much on the back end I need to do.
I'm kind of the same way. Like a lot of games I want to 1000% or 1000%. Wow. 1000 achievement point it. And sometimes it's hard. So maybe I should change this instead of achievement difficulty to 1000 point difficulty. Cause like you said, it's super hard. Like it might be the most difficult yet that we've come across. So I don't know. We'll workshop that. So achievement or we'll say 1000 point difficulty, high, extremely high, probably not going to do it due to seriously 5.0. I will not reach level. I don't know. Like the seriously has always been something in the franchise, that I believe like the first one was 10,000 kills. And then the second one was 100,000 kills. And then it became, you got to get all the medals. Like, so it's always been something that's been racked up and follows a tradition. But Microsoft also doesn't have a like platinum equivalent anymore. So I think that's kind of the more disappointing aspect is Microsoft still hasn't figured that part out, if that makes sense.
No. I mean, like my new baseline for trophy hunting and whatnot is Horizon Zero Dawn. So it's kind of like I think that game did it very well in the sense that you really get like 70-80% almost just by playing the game. And then you can just kind of do a few side quests here and there to kind of platinum it out.
Yeah, I agree. Like, that's, those are the types that I like, is when, like, it's something that isn't going to, you know, take a ton of time, but it's also going to, like, force me to play the game maybe in a different way. You know, it's going to force me to basically use everything that the game has to offer, or experience everything the game has to offer. But I don't know. We'll workshop that, because I think that's an interesting topic. But it's a third person shooter. And with that, let's talk about it. Up front, we are not going to talk about spoilers at the beginning. We will get to a spoiler section, but we will very much give you a heads up of saying, like, spoiler or don't spoil. So, yeah. Gears 5. Oh, I guess we should also talk about, we're going to talk strictly, I shouldn't say strictly. Man, this episode is a mess. We're going to talk about the
this
campaign.
This is a big game. A lot of shit to go over.
Like, yeah, so,
a lot
yeah,
of housekeeping stuff, too.
Yeah, we're mainly going to talk about the campaign. I have played Horde, and I have played multiplayer, as well as the new, Escape mode. And I think right off the bat, like, the multiplayer is good, but it is not going to, it has not changed dynamically. The same with Horde. There are some new things with Horde, and I think they're worth talking about, but I don't think there's anything too deep there in terms of, like, newness. So if you're coming to this game hoping for a new multiplayer or, like, a brand new Horde, you're not going to find it. The campaign is by far the most interesting part, because it does actually do new things and takes different avenues. And what I will say is, I've played Escape, and I don't think Escape is particularly strong. I think it's probably the weakest mode. So it's kind of a disappointment. But so we're mainly going to talk about the campaign. We're going to talk about Gears, and then, like I said, we'll do some spoilers and stuff. But if for whatever reason people really want a multiplayer episode, you know, I can see the numbers. If this is a highly regarded episode, we will, maybe we'll come back and play. We'll talk about multiplayer. But so Gears 5.
Yes, Sands of War. Let's start with the positives, because there's a lot of positives in this game for me. And, a lot of things this game does that stands out for me. Like, the first thing I want to talk about, just the overall presentation and the graphic fidelity. This is a pretty fucking game.
Yeah, this is a very
pretty game.
It makes the 1X version, it truly is like a technical marvel in terms of what they were able to achieve on the hardware that's in it. You know, this game is optimized to the T in terms of just like fidelity and frame rate. So you're playing on PC, and I guess for what GPU and CPU are you running, so people can get sort of a
the i7 1070.
Okay, it's a 1070 GTX. Gotcha.
Yeah, so basically run is butter on my system, like 60 frames or more the entire time, with the occasional dip when it comes in and out of like of a cinematic, for example. That's nothing major, but I was playing it with a friend of mine, and she realized like when the game starts off, like, and no spoilers here obviously, but the game starts off like when you're in a tunnel, so everything's super dark, but it's not like a pitch black dark like you see in a lot of games, whereas like if it's dark, it's just they just paint the screen black. Right. It's just really like you could tell things are there, things are kind of shimmering, but it's just like a dark cave environment. And then all of a sudden, this cave-like system just kind of comes crashing down, a ceiling caves in, and the light hits, and we both audibly awed at it, like, holy shit, this is a pretty fucking game.
Yeah.
And it never really lets up off that presentation. It's kind of just always, there's always something good, like, everything really kind of pops here, like, everything really kind of, and the art style in Gears, I was never really in love with, but I got it. But for some reason, this game, it kind of comes together in a way. Like, I feel like this kind of a nice shiny coat of paint they put on something that's already there, and it just looks really fucking good.
Yeah, and it's the art style is something that Gears, you know, people go back and forth on. Of like, some people like the more muted colors of sort of the original games because it sort of created a So we're looking for, I don't want to say it created an environment, but it created a tone of, you know, of more dire and more sort of horror. But as the franchise went on, you know, it definitely added color, you know, like the color green was basically absent from the first game. But, and this game's got all the colors. It's got red, it's got green, it's got white. So, but to piggyback off that, I will say, like, not only does it like it look good, but the environments are very dynamic in terms of things change up quite a bit. You're never really looking at the same thing twice, which is big for Gears of War. Like, that's a huge thing of where, this isn't really spoilers. This has been talked about, but so like half the game is open world and half the game is not. So it sort of drops you in a couple environments are.
I'll also just really quickly kind of call it I would categorize it more as, I was thinking about this earlier. I would categorize it more as sandbox.
Sure.
I'm pretty sure some people would be like, well, who gives a fuck? But I mean, like, open world to me is Grand Theft Auto. You know, it's like, whereas like even Horizon, as we spoke about earlier, like you kind of just, or Breath of the Wild, really just go anywhere, do anything. Whereas like this is kind of like, we're gonna give you some pieces to play with inside this smaller area that instead of going front to back, you can go left to right.
Right. Yeah. It's definitely like there's not your missions are very clear. Like you're not going to stumble upon like there's like a dude standing here and he wants me to go find his cat. You know, like there's nothing like that. But it reminds me a lot of Tomb Raider, the recent Tomb Raider reboots of. It sort of drops you in these different zones and then you sort of do the missions in those zones and then you sort of move on. Like you don't really come back to anything. And so once you're done, like, and even the game's just like, hey, you're not coming back here. So if you want to do stuff, you better do it now. kind of thing, but they're very different. You know, the first act is very much a Gears of War game. Like it's what you remember, but then the second and third act are much more open and different, and I think it's a good different. I enjoy driving the skiff. I can't remember.
I can't tell you.
Yeah, it's SKIF or something like that. But it's basically like a giant parachute gliding vehicle kind of thing. But it's fun to drive. Like it's fun to go across the world. And then in the second act, there's a lot of environmental hazards with ice and everything. So it controls a little differently. But you can actually like shoot the ice, and you can create situations to where you're shooting ice and having enemies fall into it. And then the third act has a lot of it's a big desert kind of thing, so there's a lot of storms and there's a lot of tornadoes and dynamic weather and stuff like that. So it's cool. Like it always looks like something unique. And then the fourth act sort of wraps things up with a more traditional Gears style game. And that's big for this franchise because it's never done that. It's always been very much point A, point B, point C, point D. You know, you know what you're doing. You're always just sort of pushing forward. And I like it. I think it's a good change for it. And I think it's enough that people that maybe liked Gears but didn't love Gears, I think it's enough to maybe push them into a, yeah, like I really like this game category versus like, yeah, it's a Gears game. So when you combine that with the presentation, it stands on its own. You know, there's nothing really that can, at least, especially from Microsoft's, you know, portfolio of games, of nothing really plays and looks like it. So.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I feel like to get more about that comment about people who didn't really love Gears, because I have an up and down with Gears. Like I loved it at first, and then I just kind of completely fell back from it. And then this is the one game series that's kind of inching me back towards where I want to be with Gears, in terms of gameplay style anyway, because I actually liked the kind of tight corridor, like arena, like not arena shooter, but kind of hallway shooter that Gears was. And if you told me you're going to open it up more and do it this way in more of a sandbox mode, I would say, well, good luck doing that. It's fucking Gears.
Right.
They really did a good job with it. My biggest critique with it though is because it really feels good going from point A to B to C to D, like just almost anywhere you kind of want and exploring. But my issue with it is it's just not it's not dynamic enough in some ways. And then on top of that, when it's when you are looking for things, I get the Breath of the Wild syndrome that I call it, where it's like, yeah, I can go there and do that, but do I really want to? Is the reward really worth it? For some people, it is, and like I want to say for me personally, it wasn't. Because while we were playing cooperatively, he told me like, if you go here, you can get this upgrade or something for Jack. And I'm like, I don't care. We don't need it. Like it's not something. It wasn't something to me that was like a good Elder Scrolls game. It was like, well, if you go here, you get like a brand new dragon shout or this super rare weapon. It's like, nah, you just get another upgrade that you already see available on the upgrade tree for the most part. There's some secret ones, but I just wish it was more of the wow, look what I found aspect of the searching. And then also on top of that, like there was a sequence where we got lost a little bit and we doubled back around, hit a circle.
Yeah.
And deja vu hit me in the fucking face because I'm like, the character said the exact same thing. The enemies were placed in the exact same way. Right. It was like, you can't just like lay it out exactly as it once was. Like, this is not first time here.
Yeah, it was strange. Because like, we were talking, we were just bullshitting, and we clearly didn't see the thing. It's like, it wanted you to turn left. Cause like a lot of the environments, they basically put you in a loop. Like you start on the left and then you come out the right kind of thing. Kind of similar like to a Skyrim, you know? So, and instead, like we were just not paying attention. We walked the wrong way. And like you said, it was almost like the mission never happened.
Right.
And it was very strange. So we just kind of turned around and booked it. And it was just like, all right, hopefully we didn't break anything. So, but yeah, no, I, my biggest criticism actually is Jack. I think on the harder difficulties, I think it makes more sense to push for those upgrades, but the game Insane on this game. Like I've played every Gears on Insane. I did not finish 4 on Insane, but I got through a majority of it, but I beat 1 through 3 and Judgment on Insane.
Same without Judgment. I didn't play Judgment at all.
Yeah, so Insane is very difficult, and it feels like this game is tuned to have Jack be a major contributor in terms of how you sort of make your movement. Yeah, and I don't know if I completely love that, but it's also been, 13 years since the original Gears came out, so my mind might be different to maybe how hard or, you know, difficult those games actually were, but Insane is almost too hard. And it's not fun to me, and it seems like it is sort of catered to, because some of those abilities with Jack are extremely helpful, but kind of like you said, it doesn't dynamically change the game unless you feel like you're playing on the super hard difficulty. So that's kind of a strange thing. And you can also play as Jack if you want to do 3-player co-op, but nobody should do that. He can't really do much, and it's very strange that they're pushing this as a 3-player co-op game when the third player is not actually, I don't want to say they're not actually playing, but they're not playing Gears. They're not playing Gears. Like
the Jack player should be like a buddy who's never played Gears. You're like, hey, come play this game with me. Like with us rather.
This is going to sound terrible. Do we want them to play with us? Like, and I don't mean that as like, I don't want them playing my game, but it's like, you're not actually, you know, it's not like a Borderlands 2 thing where, because Borderlands 2 had that class that basically made everything easy, but you're learning how to play Borderlands. You're not learning how to play Gears, but when you're
at
playing
all, Jack. No.
Like, and that's where I'm just like, I wouldn't even like want someone that hasn't played Gears before. I'd rather them just be Dell and throw it on easy.
Detrimental in a way, because I'd rather you or I tell Jack what to do.
Right.
Then a third person try to interpret what they think we want them to do.
Right.
But you're absolutely right. Like with that's a very good point. When Jack is really meant for a higher difficulty, because when I noticed, it just hit me in the head, because it's like when I was playing by myself, I didn't really, that's when I noticed Jack more. Because I'm like, I need Jack to do everything for me right now, because my AI teammate is dumb as rocks. But once you jumped online with me and I had another brain working, like then I'm like, oh, okay, then Jack's not really necessary right. for me at this moment. So if you're playing solo, like, I can see you. I can see why you would definitely need Jack in a higher difficulty. But other than that, I'm just kind of like, because when we were playing together, like I said, I'm just like, yeah, we could do that side mission, but I don't really care about upgrading Jack. I got you here. We both can just shoot this thing to death by ourselves.
Right. So it's, I don't know, Jack. To me, that it was an experiment, and I just don't think it went. I don't think it adds anything to it. That's really my only major criticism to the gameplay aspect of it. Other than that, the gameplay is, I struggle to find a lot wrong with the actual playing of it. You know, going into cover, shooting the weapons, active reload. Like, I think there's some issues with enemy variety that we can talk about when we get to the story. But other than that, like, Gears 4 was phenomenal to play. Like, I think I said it back then. It's like you play a third person shooter and then you play Gears of War and you're like, oh, this is how it's supposed to feel. Like, this is how you're supposed to make a cover shooter. And you don't really get that until you pick up and play Gears of War again. You're like, oh, okay. Like, every game wants to be a Gears clone that was a third person shooter for a while.
Right.
But I don't think Gears 5 like does anything in terms of like brand new of just like, oh man, like this totally changes the way Gears plays, but it's solid. It's smooth. The cover system works the way you want it to. I'm trying to remember, cause the Yank was definitely in 4, but I'm trying to remember if the, there's a, not important, but it plays so smooth that I never felt like I was fighting the controller. I never felt like anything was wrong with it, which is, that's saying a lot. Like, you know, it usually you can find something like, I don't like this or I don't like this, but I don't have a single complaint.
The Gears formula, it is right there next to the the Bungie formula or the I'd even put it up there with the guys that made Titanfall, like
right.
That formula just
OG
like
Infinity Ward.
Yeah, like, and what I mean by that is you can paint whatever fucking skin you want on top of these gameplays, and it will feel good. Like, it's the only reason I played Destiny for as long as I did, because it right. just felt like kind of like Halo. So it's like, Gears is right there, where it's kind of like, it's by far my favorite thing about this game is just the shooting, just the very visceral gunplay. Like, I'm not getting that anywhere else. And whenever I feel like this game is at its full swing, when it's just kind of like, hey, here's some guns, here's some ammo, there's a bunch of enemies coming at you, have at it. And that's when I was having the most fun with this game.
Yeah, and I still just, like, active reload, man. Like, active reload is, it's so good. It's so freaking good. And I don't understand how other games, like a couple other games have tried to rip it off. Like, I know Battlefront did. I know there's another game that I'm totally blanking on, another shooter that tried it, but it's like, nobody gets it. Like, Gears just gets it better. And I think it's because you, not only is like a mini game inside that, you know, they turned reloading into a mini game basically, but there's a real benefit to it. Like, some weapons function differently on an active reload, and they do some cool things in the story where you can find what they call relic weapons. I don't know if you found any of them, but so like the sniper rifle relic, if you hit the active reload, you get a second shot and you don't have to reload it for the second shot. That completely changes how that sniper rifle works. Like, that changes your strategy, that changes what you're shooting and everything. And the same thing happens with, I found a what's the name of that gun? Oh my God, it's gonna drive me nuts. It's my favorite new gun, and now I can't remember it.
I think you mentioned it too. But speaking about the difference between, like, for instance, the Battlefield active reload, the thing I noticed about the active reload throughout this series is that if you did active reload in that Battlefield game, you hit an active reload, congratulations. Nothing, you don't really, you know, because you've seen yourself do it, but in Gears, it's always been, if you hit the active reload, you hear somebody go, yeah, got right. it. Or, and it, again, like the game is, when the game is just visceral and just in your face, and it's just kind of like, bam, it's like that's when the game is at its high point for me.
Right. It adds to the flow in a way of like, It's called the Claw, by the way. That's the weapon. I absolutely love that gun. That gun is so freaking good. It adds to that flow of just, it's so simple, but when you hit that active reload and then you hit another one, then you hit another one, like you just, you feel awesome. But when you miss it too, it's like the world is ending. Like you miss that active reload and all of a sudden it's just like, oh God, what do I do? Like in a good way though, it's just like, and it's on you. Like you take that risk of trying to do the active reload. You don't have to. And if you miss it, it's your fault. You know, it's one of the very few shooter mechanics where it's like, it's 100% on you. There is no, there's no bullshit with it. There's no like, oh man, there was lag, like nothing.
It's also a downside to it too, though. Like, cause if you miss it, you might, you risk a gun jam and you just fuck yourself in a gunfight. So it's like,
it's still your fault. Like, that's what I think that's probably the biggest thing of why it clicks with me. It's because it's 100% skill based, you know, like it's never up to the other player. It's 100% on me. And that's, I love that mechanic so much. We just spent 3 minutes talking about active reload.
As we should though, because there are things core to the Gears experience, like active reload, that make this game good. I think I told you, while I first started playing it, the best and worst things to me about this game is that it's Gears. And right. So it's like, so if you love things about Gears, you will love more things about Gears. But if there's anything that pisses you off about Gears, it's going to still piss you off probably.
Right. Yeah. This is 100% a Gears game. Like it's not going to, it plays like it should, you know. It's neither here nor there, but so, I mean, I think it's fair to say that, you know, we like everything that when it comes to like making a Gears game, and then we like some of the new stuff. Before we get to the story, which is going to be spoiler heavy, so I sort of want to wrap that up of it. I think my biggest criticism of the overall package, well, hang on, let me, now I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's talk about the story.
Right.
This is still non-spoiler section. So the story is, how do you talk about the story in Gears? Story has always been a on the back burner. Like I can't think of any other way to say it.
Which I personally appreciate.
Yeah, we had like an hour long discussion about this. We're not going to do that here, I promise. But yeah, the story of Gears, I like Gears 2 and 3 a lot in terms of the story department. I like the story for 2 mainly because of the pacing of it. It's very quick. There's no nonsense in Gears 2. Like it gets to the point.
Fucking the game is just good.
Yeah, the game is very, very good. Whereas, you get a real look into the world of Gears. Like when you go to the Locust homeworld and everything, like you feel like you're in that place, but there's not a lot of like story and character development.
But
and
the thing that was so good about the storytelling in that game for me is that it told you all you needed to know. And it told you visually. It was no exposition. There was no whole, like, if I remember correctly, there wasn't a whole lot of exposition. There wasn't a whole lot of walking around like, all right, let's explain what's going on here. It's like you got a sense of the world of the of these creatures because you went down in homeworld, you fucked their shit up, and then you left.
Right.
And it's just like bang, bang, bang. I was like, that's what I appreciate about Gears. About the first years of Gears, essentially.
Yeah, so, and then Gears 3 sort of happens, and it's much more story-heavy. Like, they introduce Adam Phoenix, they introduce more of the Locust Queen, who the Locust Queen was in the first two games very briefly. She had a much larger presence in the second one. But the third one, she's sort of the main villain. But my biggest criticism of Gears 3 was that they set up a lot of things in Gears 1 and 2 that do not, in any shape or form, they're not resolved by Gears 3. Like you win, and
that's all that matters.
Debatable.
Right.
So, but the reason that I'm talking about this is because Gears 4 was supposed to be sort of like the reboot of Gears, and they introduced new characters like Kate and JD, and you know, I don't think the story of that game is very good. I think it's serviceable. I think it does a bad job of introducing Kate and JD, and it ends on a cliffhanger that is just like, okay, when you finally started talking about the thing I want to know, which I guess spoiler for Gears 4, but whatever, you know, that somehow Kate is related to the Locust in some shape or form and her family is, it just ends. And that's when I'm just like, no, like that's the stuff I want to know about, because we never got answers to who the Locust are, who the Locust Queen is. Like, the Locust Queen's freaking human. Like, why is she fucking human? And you never get those answers. And so the fact that you had Gears 4 and you didn't get those answers, I was just like, all right, like, I really don't, I don't know if they can do it. But that being said, again, no spoilers yet, is that I think Gears 5 in the story department is probably the best story of the franchise in terms of a rise and fall, in terms of answers, in terms of lore building, in terms of world building. I think it's up there. But
I will agree with that specific statement. That is probably their best story. In a sense that it, that
it's not the best
five,
campaign, like, but no, it's the best story.
Yeah. It's the best. Yeah, absolutely. They definitely got like some, they definitely hired a writer or two or somebody who just like, all right, let's look at the overall plot here and actually try to create and craft an experience that has ups and downs and like left turns and stuff. So like that I would agree with. But for me, it's like a large part of story, especially in video games, because video games, a lot of shooters like feel like they need a campaign. Like, I'll argue most of you don't. Gears is one of the ones where I feel like a campaign is nice. It always kind of felt like a extended tutorial for online for me at times. But again, like my favorite gear, I think Gears for me is at its best when it's kind of just telling story visually, and it just kind of like you're going through the motions of just blowing shit up. This Gears 4 and 5 really dug their feet in. All right, let's get into character development. And it's like, JD is never going to be a character anyone gives a fuck about. Let's get into character development. Like, Dell's right. A fucking joke. Like, a funny one. Like, his quips aren't funny ever. Like,
I enjoyed some of his about Jack. I will say that. But he
cannot stand the fact that, like again, no spoilers.
He's a bad
yet.
Baird. Yeah, he's a bad Baird.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So. They all seem like half-lives of other characters. It just annoys me because it feels so vanilla. So. Right. It feels like AAA gaming writing, like cliched all the way through. I'm just like, in terms of character development, like specifically, it's like, we're AAA game writers, we're going to write these characters just like every single AAA character you've ever played before. I'm just like, you guys didn't need to do that. And if you are going to do that, don't waste so much time with it on me. Like, just make right. it like a passing thing.
Yeah, I would agree with that on 4. Like, I've said this way too many times now. Like, Gears 4 reminded me a lot of Episode 7, Star Wars, what the hell is it? The Force Awakens. Yeah, yeah. Of, like, you're trying to introduce a new generation, but then Marcus shows up. And it's like, well, I don't care anymore. Like, you showed Marcus, who's by far the best character in the Gears franchise. Like,
oh, that Coltrane.
Yeah, like... that's what I want to see. Like, if you're going to introduce them, you need to have a damn good reason for Marcus to be there. And I don't think they gave that reason at all in Gears 4. But for Gears 5, Gears 5 is basically Kate's story, which they have said many times. So, again, that's not a spoiler. But so we'll get into spoilers. But so before we get there, so I think it's safe to say that we're going to recommend this game for the people that...
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, for the people that don't want spoilers and everything. This is 100... If you have Game Pass, you need to play this game. Like, whether you've got it, especially if you have a 1X, because, I mean, if you just want something really freaking pretty to look at, it's awesome. But Chris is playing, a friend of mine is playing on the regular Xbox, and he says it looks great there, too. So play this game, even if it's for the campaign. If you like the Gears multiplayer, there's more of it. Horde mode, really quickly, is it's good. I think it's better than Gears 4, but I still don't think it's better than like the classic Gears 2 and 3 Horde mode. I think it still has a little too much of the hero shooter mentality. It's fun, the hero shooter stuff, but it's not. I don't know if it's a needed addition, if that makes sense. So, but it's still a lot of fun to play. I mean, we went through 50 waves today and it took like 3 hours and it didn't feel like it took 3 hours. So anytime where I can waste that much time and not feel like it, it's still a great game. But the new escape mode is pretty meh, like I said at the beginning. So yeah, for the people that don't want spoilers, turn it off now, because now we're going to get into the story stuff and I think go deeper into why I recommend the game as a Gears fan. So where do you want to start with spoilers? That's...
I mean, like, that's the thing. Like, I don't need, like, my, so...
So I think the backstory on the Locust Queen and why she's human and basically being that the Locusts were created... they were not a, you know, they weren't always there. Like Gears 2 and 3 always like hinted at that they were there. And then the war happened with the, what the hell are they called? Not the land. Yeah. The Lambent. And so they were forced to come out and that's why they were. But as it turns out that the emulsion, which was always kind of the big thing over the first three games, was a side effect of them trying to perfect DNA or whatever you want to call it. And that's why the Locust Queen was human, was because she was sort of the exception. Like she became the, she was not affected by the emulsion, but that's why she was the leader of the people. And that's why Kate's mother, you know, it's the same. The reason they went after Kate's mother in Gears 4 is because she's a descendant of that bloodline. So she can basically control the Locust. And so you get, you know, moments of Kate doing that, of moments of her actually controlling the Locust. And I thought that was a really cool moment when you actually are playing Kate and then you can 100%, she like has a vision and then you start playing as the fucking swarm. And it's just like, whoa, like this is pretty neat. So,
yeah, you kind of warg into the other enemies. Like, yeah, I mean, it's going in an interesting place for sure, and it's doing it in a good way, in a sense that it's building off something that's already been established,
right?
So like that's probably the best part about the story, and the thing is the thing about the story to me is like although it's interesting, it's not really, again, it's just delivered in such a AAA gaming way where I'm just kind of like bored to death about it. Like you can't like yours should be a lot. They should really experiment on how to tell this story. They don't have to go the Metal Gear Solid route of, did you guys finish shooting yet? All right, let's everybody sit down, grab a cup of tea. Let's watch this cutscene. Let's watch a bunch of exposition get dumped on you. It's like, let's try to tell the story a little differently, like a little like in some kind of Gears in a Gears type way, because Kate, because with this being Kate's story so much, Kate's really kind of the only really interesting character, because now you have like a bunch of characters around her who don't really add to it until the very end when you have to make a very important decision. Up to that point, does it matter if JD lives or dies? Does it? Because here's my thing about like expanding the plot of Gears, right? Expanding the story of Gears. When you do it with Halo, it seems like those people over there have a real fundamental idea of how to build upon the mythos. Whereas Gears is like, okay, if you're going to stop me and tell me about the COG and how this military system operates, well, I'm going to start asking questions now. And it's going to kind of get in the way of my experience. For example, why is JD leading any kind of squad when he's proven time and time again that he's bad at it? Like, right. If you go back to Marcus Fenix, they're both headstrong, shoot first, ask question later characters. I get that. But Marcus, as you've played with him over the years, even in the first game, you're like, this guy's a bad guy, but he's like a good guy. He's headstrong, but he never gets his people hurt. He never puts them in harm's way. And even when he puts himself in harm's way, it seems like he has a plan B. Like even when he feels like he doesn't. So it's like, but when you get to JD, it's like, okay, he's leading the squad with Marcus on it, by the way, half the time. And it's like, why? Like, can someone, could, like, I usually would not ask that question, but if you're going to stop and expose to me how, well, this is how the system works and this is that, I'm like, well, explain to me why the fuck this guy has a job. Why does anybody follow him? He's like, he literally got multiple people killed in action and then almost got himself killed by holding the hammer at dawn of fucking like Beacon. Is like, is this your hero moment? Because it's not working. Like,
yeah, like something happened during Gears 4 where, in terms of a writing standpoint, that somebody went one way and they ended up not going, because JD as a character in Gears 4 was not very good. But I will say in Gears 5, like, there's enough there for me to get a picture of JD, which is more than I can say for Gears 4. Like,
I got a picture of him, but I just feel like Gears 4 should have been an arc where the two of them, him and his father, see eye to eye, see the very obvious, they're more alike than they are different. Like, this shit, that should have been wrapped up, and we should have had some respect for JD going into 5, so that it mattered when he may have died at the end of here. But it really doesn't. Like, the same with Dell. Like you're just the quirky black kid on the corner. Like, who cares? Like, you know what? Like, who, you have no development, no purpose. And going back to the first set of Gears games, it's like, that's okay because we're only here to shoot shit. Like, it's like John Wick style. Like, there's a plot. The plot is the dog got shot. Now let's shoot some shit up. And like, that's why you can have a character like Coltrane who just rocks in like, it's the Coltrane, baby. It's like, yeah, that's all you need to do, because that's all we need to do here. But if you stop me after every gunfight and say, all right, guys, sit down and strap your boots in because we're about to tell a story. It's like, well, you better tell a fucking phenomenal story with a fucking phenomenal character arc, because you're stopping my favorite part of the game.
Right. Well, and that's tough. Like, I agree to an extent of, I think, I don't want Kingdom Hearts to where, like, literally every time you go to a new screen, that game wants to tell you a story.
Let's not
but,
do that.
Yeah, no. But I thought 5 struck a good balance. And while Dell is not exactly a deep character, when it came time to make the choice of killing JD or Dell, the way it spoke to me, which says a lot about JD, is that... was, I was like, if I kill JD, I feel sorry for Marcus. Like, I don't feel sorry for JD at all. But I had, you go on this adventure with Dell, you know, and you, while you don't, he felt like a friend, you know,
I agree with that.
Yeah. So that's where my decision came down to, was it was like, dude, does Marcus get hurt? And does this guy die? And I don't really care. Or do I kill my friend? I was like, I'm not killing my friend. Like, I'm not doing that.
And as much as I like that ending, because I do like that.
I guess let's address it really quick. Okay. Just because, yeah. Like, so basically during the last act, if you haven't played it or you have played, like, out of fucking nowhere, the Locust Queen shows up. The new Locust Queen, which is Kate's mom, shows up. And she basically, you have to make a choice. Like, she grabs both of them and says, you know, basically you have a knife, you only have one and you have to throw it. So who do you save? And it gives you a choice. It says, who will you save? What I will say is that coming out of nowhere completely caught me off guard. Like, that is not something in a Gears game. Like, I'm not saying that it's good or bad. What I'm saying is that it succeeded in that I did not expect it. And it made me make a split decision in a way that I was not prepared to, in a good way. Right. That was interesting, and I'm also surprised that they actually killed the other person. Like, when I decided to save Dell, and I threw the knife at Dell, and she just straight up snaps JD's neck, I'm like, holy shit. Like, I thought she was just going to take him away, you know, kind of thing. Like,
as they always do in Gears.
Right, you know, like, when it said, who are you going to save? And, a lot of emotions went through my head very quickly, and what I will say is, like, you, after that moment, and JD dies, and they... it's very graphic in just terms of, like, his body just sort of falls there, and then, like, there's some sort of earthquake, whatever you want to call it, and his body just sort of goes away and it just falls down. It's just, it was, it hit me in a way I was not expecting. Like, I wasn't like crying or anything, but I was just like, damn, like shit just got real for like a good minute. And I just, it completely caught me off guard. So.
Yeah, I think it's a good direction to take the Gears games because you pointed out, like, usually it's like, oh, that guy's gonna die. Oh no, like the thing just ate him up and he's gonna be fine later on. Like you didn't get any. I think the only other Gears game with any real consequence was Gears 3. The rest of them just kind of like just go through the motions. But as much as I do like that and very much appreciate it in this game, it's my nagging issue with it is I'd bet money that probably around 80% of people kill JD on their first playthrough. And it's not because they dislike JD. I'm going to say it's because it's by far the better story going out. Like, it only makes sense for that to affect Marcus and then us go forward with Marcus having this newfound hatred of
the Locust Queen.
Yeah. So it's like, how much are they going to take at this point? So at this point, like I know this is Kate's story and I know we got to learn more about the Locust Queen. I know either JD or Del dies. At the end of the day, like as much as they want to kind of help us across this bridge of these new characters, at the end of the day, this is still very much a Marcus Fenix driven game series. And but at this point, we just want to see, I want to see now what the fuck Marcus Fenix does.
Right.
In retaliation.
Well, and what I'll say about that is, like, I 100% agree, but at the same time, the way that they interwove Kate and Marcus's stories together, because now they have a common goal.
Right.
That was very smart. That was good writing. While I don't think it's like particularly deep though. I'm like, well, they killed his goddamn kid. Like, you know, and his wife is dead. Like, he's got nothing left at this point. Like you said, I think that is a much better story than Del dying. Because basically the way the difference that plays out is if you kill Del, JD sort of takes Marcus's spot in terms of like being the emotional character, you know, of the loss of trying to deal with the loss. And I think it's going to, I don't think that that story is nearly as interesting, but at the same time, they've proven, the Coalition has proven that they can write a good story. And
right.
So like, I'm wondering how far they're going to take that, and with how they've presented Kate and how they've done everything up to this point, like they could actually tell a good story there with JD, but I just don't know if it's the better story, if that makes sense. But it's going to be interesting to see how they, you know,
they could tell a great JD story going off of this, if it worked in a way where you played as, instead of playing as Kate and JD, if you played as Kate, I'm sorry, instead of playing as Kate and Del, if you played as Kate and JD, and a decision came down to where, because we already have this reckless ass JD who's not good at his job so far, if this recklessness that Marcus has so far reprimanded him for every single time, if that led with Kate in part to Marcus dying, then you have a fantastic set to build a story on JD, because now JD understands consequences and he can actually like be an adult and make adult decisions, and we have someone we can respect because he's making better decisions. Right. But as is right now, is like,
but I think I'm the problem with that, I mean, the question is if I personally almost like the choice was very cool, but I almost wish they just would have went with one or the other. Because if you would have given the choice to kill Marcus or not, no one's gonna fucking kill Marcus.
But
no,
that's my question, right, though. Like, so going to Wars 5. I'm guessing you're going to change the title again.
Just
a red 6. fucking if they do that, so. this works with Mass Effect, because Mass Effect has said, because you build your own story in Mass Effect, so that makes sense to me. So now, right, if you have two endings, you make the new game, are you making two separate campaigns?
Yeah, I don't, that's tough. Like,
you guys show some kind of skill here, but you didn't, right, show that much skill.
But it's the start of something that could be very interesting, but at the end of the day, the fact that we're talking about it so much is, I think, says a lot about what it does for the future of the series. But now that you've laid the groundwork, the real work begins. Like,
right.
So I'm super interested in Gears 6 now. Like, I'm already just like, okay, I got to see how they resolve this, and I got to see how they write it. And from, you know, just from a development standpoint, where I know a lot of people don't really care, they just want to play the game. But like, from a development standpoint, I'm super interested as well.
Into Gears 6 very, like, playing this game, it's a fantastic game. It's a good game. Like, no doubt, it's not my cup of tea, but it's my opinion, it's just a matter of fact, a good game.
Right.
I'm way more leading up to, depending on how they advertise this, I will actually be hype about Gears 6.
Yeah, 100%. Like, Gears, like, I'm trying to think from like a story perspective. I'm like, okay, now I have to know what happens. I don't know if I've gotten that from a game in a long time.
I've like, never gotten it from the Gears.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. Never from the Gears. Yeah.
Like even that cliffhanger, I think after 2 is like where he showed his dad on the screen. I'm like, yeah, I don't care. Like, just,
yeah, that
just,
was, yeah, it was kind of just like, okay. Like, that's
cool.
Yeah.
I want to shoot some more levels, whatever.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. But so I guess the story, you know, I think we've exhausted how we feel. Like, I like it. I think you like it less, but I think we've come after this, you know, like, it's good. Like, it's a good direction for the series. I think we both kind of wish they would tell it in a better way, in a more unique way, but the fact that it's there to begin with, I think, is a huge step up for the series. But the only thing that really bugs me is that it seems like the story overtook creating new stuff for Gears. Like, there's not a lot of new enemies. You know,
they don't like new in Gears.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Gears 2 and 3, like, Gears 2 for sure had, like, the amount of enemies and variety was so much higher, and that's where it became a gameplay thing and not just a story thing, of just like the gameplay changed because they created more enemies to basically complete the puzzle with. Like, it gave you new puzzles to play. And like, the only thing that comes to mind is like Doom. Like, Doom, every enemy has a very specific way that how you should tackle it, and that was always expanded on from Gears 2 and then even Gears 3 with the Lambent and et cetera. But with Gears 4 with the Pouncers and the Snatchers, like, I never felt like it was super new, and the DBs were kind of dumb. And while Gears 5 does have new things, it does have new enemies. There's a couple new ones. Like, I can't remember the name of them, but the guy that has the two poles and he's got the mask on and you've got to pump bullets into him. Like,
the Reverend or something.
Yeah. Reverend. Yeah. So he can be a little unpredictable, and sort of kind of catch you off guard, but he doesn't exactly change up how you play the game. And the same thing with the new Berserker, the Matriarch. The Matriarch is basically a Berserker that now, instead of setting on fire, has a weak point in the back kind of thing. So where Gears, I think, shines the best is when that variety hits a crescendo of just like, whatever comes next, I have to change up how I'm playing. And it all plays into like the active reload and all that stuff we talked about. It's like you're constantly moving from enemy to enemy and changing how you go and changing how you play. And where Gears 5 definitely feels like a Gears game, it doesn't really challenge that. And it to me, that's because of the story. It seems like they focused more on making sure the story was coherent and all of those things. And instead of making new experiences in terms of enemies, we've got the open world aspects, you know, the hub worlds.
Yeah, they definitely need to find a balance, because the earlier years was definitely the monster of the week. And this is more like, all right, we got all the monsters in place. Let's now craft a story around it.
Right.
But like I said at the top, like it's Gears for better or for worse. Like a lot of things I like about Gears is here. Like is I don't like about Gears is here. Like including the fact that they're like, I mean, I love the gunfights where, as you say, they just throw a bunch of stuff at you. But I like when it hits you like in waves almost, where it's like,
right.
Here's one way, here's another way, here's another way. You're like, how long am I going to do this? How can I keep this up with different, with the different enemies coming in and out of that wave? But I still do detest the those fights where it's like, all right, you have the one or two things you have to fight, the big things you have to fight. While we'll throw little monkeys at you and whatever,
right? And, the juvies and stuff, yeah.
And they will add more to your frustration by making them blow up automatically or something. It's like, okay, like this is kind of dumb for you guys. Like you can do better than just throw a bunch of ads at me that blow up on contact. Like that's right. Really cheap. But
yeah,
I mean,
and it's like the juvies and like the tickers were always kind of interesting because the tickers could do serious damage, but you knew how to combat them. And the juvies are almost a little too rambunctious. Like they almost move around a little too much that a lot of times it doesn't feel like skill. It just feels like I'm sort of swiping at the air. I'm just like, get the hell off of me. Where like when it came to like tickers and stuff, it was just like, okay, like I know that this ticker is going to come here. And as soon as it starts to do its little, charge up for its explosion, I can either kick it if I've got the space for it, or I can jump out of the way. And with juvies, it's more like a swarm, where they just sort of, you know, swarm you. And it's not as clean as like as Gears 2 and 3 were in terms of that. I definitely agree with that. So that's the stuff that I want to see in 6.
They definitely move off the grid, grid that everything moves on in Gears. The invisible grid that we all move and shoot on, like they move off the grid, and it's just a little jarring.
Yeah, I played a lot of Horde with Chris, and you know, and that's where they literally start just throwing kind of random things at you. And I think they did a better job because you don't really fight too many DBs in this one. Like you fight some of the whatever those enemies are that they have to rip the backs out of them. Those are garbage. Those are not good additions.
The Ultron robots, those are stupid. They're just dumb.
Yeah, they're not particularly fun to fight. So like, that's the stuff that while the story I think is improved. Yeah, while the story is I think is improved in every way, I think they need to tighten up the gameplay a little bit more and you know add some new enemies and add some fresh ways to basically take them on. Like the flock is not fun to fight. You don't do it too many times throughout the campaign, but it's basically just like a big swarm of leeches.
Oh, that thing sucks.
Yeah, like
mass sucks.
You empty bullets into it, and yeah, it's not the best. And I don't want to hark too much on this, because I don't think it's a topic that's different. But the goddamn glitches in this game.
It's not okay. So before you start, I don't. And obviously this is a long episode, but it's a bigger game, so I'm okay with that. The glitches, not just in this game, the glitches in general across the board with video games are an issue, and it's a big issue for me. Like me personally, like I grew up playing PC games, so I understand very well. Like, so when you're a PC gamer, you already know, like, all right, this is going to be a fucking headache at some point. Like, just getting a game to run half the time is going to be a fucking fight. So, like, the second you get, so, like, especially if you get, like, a console game or something, like, you expect it, for the most part, to run smoothly. These glitches take me out of the game. I mean, I'm not talking about, like, Fallout glitches back in the day where it's like, ha-ha, LOL, I'm going to keep moving on and do my quest. Like, no, like, my Dell was stuck in the ground waist high every time I reset the game. My Dell ran in literal circles. I would, like, we would restart checkpoints and enemies would not move past certain areas. Like as if there's like an invisible wall there.
Right. Like, it's almost like they weren't triggered yet. Like you hadn't triggered the the go command or whatever you want to call it. Like
it's really too much. It's too much for a game, especially like this. Because I know you add your open world part of it, but at the same time, these enemies, like we said before, are pretty much the same. I'm guessing the AI hasn't changed that drastically. So there's really no reason for. Like, this is the most glitched out Gears game I've ever played.
For sure. Yeah. Gears has been fairly consistent. Like, Gears 2 had some online multiplayer issues for a long time. Right. They never quite figured that one out. The thing about glitches is that they get fixed, right? So Battlefield 4 says hi. Master Chief Collection says hi.
That's not fixed yet.
No, yeah. So, but like for the most part, everything's fixed. You know, like now, as we're talking about it, like a lot of things got rolled out yesterday and today. And so my biggest one was the checkpoint glitch of just like, basically the game gets confused and it tries to checkpoint and it can't. And what happens is that if you wait around too long, it completely wipes all your collectibles and it just kicks you out of the game to the dashboard. But if you're quick enough and you quit out to the dashboard really, or you quit out to the main menu really quick, and then you reload, like you might be okay, but you might have to redo some things. And as the game went on, and I'm guessing it's because it saves more because of the whole open world thing, I got hit with it literally 10 to 12 times.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And what's hilarious is that when you press start and you hit like reload checkpoint, it just does nothing. Like the game's just like, nope, I'm just going to go back into the game. And it's like, what just happened? And then one time when I went to the menu, I couldn't do anything. My controller locked up. I couldn't like... infuriating, losing progress over and over and over. But and what I thought was funny was that I never had an issue with AI, but then I went to your game and I was playing as Jack. I was like, your Dell is dumb, man. like he doesn't do anything.
And I'm glad you said it, because I'm playing on the right below Insane, so yeah. The game's a little tough at times,
right?
I just felt like it was like, especially stuff at points, I'm like, what the fuck's going on? So when you pointed out my Dell's not doing shit, I'm like, okay, that makes a little bit more sense. I'm not completely dumb here. But yeah, man, like back when I was had the website and I was like writing reviews and scoring games like with numbers, right. And like I would knock points off for certain glitches. Like it's really just, it takes you out of the game, man. Like it's really, right. It sucks a lot of times.
And it's just like I said, it's a tough thing, because if and what's strange about this one is, and the era that we live in is like the early access thing. Like if you don't have Game Pass Ultimate and you were to buy the gold edition of this game, whatever they call it, it's more money. So like you're paying for that privilege, and then the game's busted. Like that's not okay. That is not okay in any capacity. But at the same time, like I said, it gets fixed. So it's like if you're not playing the game until Tuesday, you don't even have any clue of what people went through. So it's like, how do you reflect that in a review style? Like of just like, well, if you played the game on this date to this date, I give it a 7. But if you play it on this date, I give it a 9. Like that's where I have issues with it. And like I don't want to hark on it too much, like I said, because it's there. But in terms of a Gears game, by far the most buggiest, and I've never ran into progression like this in a game of just being like, I've lost saves before, but I've never ran into a game just refusing to checkpoint the way this game had. Like it's unexcusable, or is it inexcusable, whatever the word is. It's not okay. And it was infuriating, but I'm glad to see that it all got fixed. Like, and even the games, cause I was playing multiplayer and there was a couple times where like after the multiplayer match, it's like, yeah, we couldn't find the stats. Sorry. And it's like, so what? I don't get the XP. And it's like, nope. But it was working correctly on the back end in terms of like, it was tracking all that. Cause like then one time I logged in, it's like, oh, you gained 7 levels. And I'm like, oh, okay. So like, at least you were able to go back and see that I did these things, etc. But my collectibles are wiped from the campaign. Like
that's absurd.
Yeah, like they're just gone. And I don't think I got the achievement for beating the game, because it didn't register that I beat the game. Like it registered a lot of the bosses, because when you beat a boss, it's like, hey, you beat this boss. I didn't get anything for beating the game, so I'm assuming I was supposed to. But yeah, So like that stuff is just, it's crazy. But again, like it's hard to just be like, you shouldn't play it because of that because it's fixed. But
oh no, I mean, yeah, I mean, like, yeah, I wouldn't say that about this game particularly. Like, it's not like it puts a damp, puts some sort of damper on the experience, and it should be pointed out a lot. Right. But right. it's not to the point where you can't, but you shouldn't buy it or play it.
Like, yeah, it's like by far the most. The Battlefield 4 and Master Chief Collection are by far the most broken things I've ever played. Battlefield 4 took like 5 months before it got to a working condition, and Master Chief Collection got fixed this year. and that game came out in 2013.
Jesus.
So, Christ. Yeah, like you want to talk about a mess. Like Master Chief Collection was like, how did you ship that product, dude? Like you had to have known. It was on fire. So I don't think Gears 5 was on fire. I think they genuinely thought it was fine. And then everything got hit all at once. And, you know, they're saying that with the Game Pass Ultimate offer, they had an influx of a lot more players than expected. But if that's the case, then what was going to happen on Tuesday?
When,
you know, like Xbox has or Microsoft has the achievement thing where if less than 10% of the people have the achievement, you get the diamond achievement for it. I was getting that for most of the campaign missions. So it's like 2% this. And when Chris and I finished 50 Waves of Horde, it was like 1.6% of people that have played this game have got this achievement. So it's like a lot of people are playing, but it's not like in the millions the way it's going to be when Tuesday rolls around. So what was going to happen then? You know, that's the part that's scary. But obviously, you know, you can't really predict whatever. It is what it is. But yeah, other than that... those things, I like you said, I think they needed to be pointed out just to talk and rant about it. But yeah, I guess we should wrap this up. And we already said, you know, already gave our verdict and said, yeah, you should play this game for sure. This is a phenomenal game. I highly enjoyed my time with it. As a Gears fan, I've always been a Gears fan. I have a freaking Lancer replica right next to me right now. Like, I really like these games. It's probably in my top five, like, franchises. It'd probably be like number five. So as a Gears fan, there's a lot good in this game. I don't think it quite tops Gears 2 and 3 of an overall package, but it's leaps and bounds beyond Gears 4 in terms of story, in terms of storytelling, in terms of just as a whole package. I think it's much better than Gears 4, I'm looking forward to Gears 6, which is something that after Gears 4 I was like, yeah, I want to play Gears 5, like, cuz I'm a fan, but let's see what you guys got. But after this game, I'm like, yeah, bring on Gears 6, man. Like, I want to play that now. So,
yeah, as a not big Gears fan anymore anyway, I'll say a lot of the same thing. I echo a lot of that just because it's probably, I will say it's the best Gears game ever made. I'll go as far as saying that. There's a lot they did right in an industry where everyone's trying to be the same but change, like Call of Duty has been fighting this for years and years and years. This game is Gears, like to the T, to the bone. It's just straight Gears of War, and it's like, in like I said, it's for better or for worse. That said, the best Gears game ever. I feel like everyone should give it a try, especially if you have Game Pass. You have no reason not to. That said, I don't think it's gonna win over any non-Gears fans.
For sure, yeah. I don't think if you've played the games, you're like, not for me. It's not gonna. You're not gonna be like, oh, I love Gears. Like, no, it's not gonna.
like even the open world part of it is kind of like, it doesn't. I think would have had a shot if the open world part was more quote unquote open world and less kind of like go here sandbox activity. But
I think that's too far. I think that would be too far for the game.
It probably will be. It probably would be. I have no idea how they would do that. Like, right. That's not my job. But definitely, like, I just mean in the sense that there's not. That would be the only real different thing that I could say, like, all right, you know, you don't like Gears, try it now.
Right. Yeah. So, and a huge selling point for Game Pass. Like,
yes.
Game Pass is already phenomenal, but, you know, if they can. The stuff on Game Pass right now is crazy, man. Like, I don't. Dead Cells is on there. Hitman Season 1, Gears 5, Doom, and Outer Worlds is coming. Outer Wilds is on there. Like, there's so much good stuff on the service. So it's a cool thing. But all right, so that's going to wrap it up. I think we definitely say, yeah, you should play this game. You should pass it on to your friends. Do not, for the love of God, pass it on by.
I like it.
And so last episode, we said that we weren't going to do this episode before the next episode. That was a mouthful. But we did. So instead of playing Yoku, we have played Yoku's Island Express. That will be the next episode.
Which is better than Gears 5. It's better than Gears 4, for sure.
For sure. I'll give it. We just spoiled the next episode. But yes, that's a very good game. I guess we're going to talk about that next episode. Maybe I'll edit that part out. I don't know. The next episode will be Yoku's Island Express. And then after that, I think we're going to go back to the randomizer. Or we've been talking about dipping into Sea of Thieves, seeing how that game's doing. And
you know what? I think we should jump in this. You know what? We're going to, unless you hear from one of these disgusting Spotify pieces of shit who want to randomize it, but I think we should hop into Sea of Thieves, because as someone who did not like it the first time around, I'm curious to see how I feel about it now.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. So we don't have an email or anything set up yet. We haven't really had the demand, but you can find us on Twitter at For the Love of Gaming. Just give that a search. That's the Twitter handle. And
is that spelled out four or the number four?
You know what?
You should know the answer to that.
I should know the answer to that question.
All right.
But that just shows you how much that I don't get Twitter, man. So I've used it to sort of like
Twitter, man.
Talk to a couple people. It is the number four, the LUV of gaming. But if you don't
fuck it all the way up.
Yeah. If you just type in platform for gamers or for the love of gaming, we will come up, I promise you. But yeah, so maybe I should set up an email, but I don't think we're quite there yet. So we'll get there. I mean, I say that as if like setting up an email is fucking impossible. Like
one day,
like it's gonna be some one huge day. Some huge
great
but endeavor.
Oh man, gonna how to mail.
But yeah, so if you, you know, I always forget to do this at the beginning of the episode. If you are listening to us on whatever your platform of choice is, Spotify, Pocket Casts, Apple Podcasts, other according to Anchor, we are an Anchor podcast. So take that for what it is, I guess. you give us a rate, definitely helps us out. Share it with your friends, put it on Twitter, put it on your Facebooks, all that fun stuff. Let us know what you like, what you don't like. Find us on Twitter, all that good stuff. But that is going to do it for this episode of Game Pass or Pass, and we will see you next time with Yoku's Island Express.
Good day, sirs. And